The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Many people like to think of themselves as law-abiding citizens. So who here obeys all the laws in Australia? Not one. Not one of you. All right. Who here knows all the laws in Australia? No one does, right? It's impossible to know all the laws in Australia, isn't it? I mean, just this last year, the federal government passed over 150 bills. And each of those had a whole myriad of different laws and variations of laws. And that's just the federal government. Then you've got your state government, then you've got your local government. There are thousands and thousands of laws in our nation. So it's no wonder we can't obey them all. You know, there are some laws that were written for their time and they might have been relevant then, but they haven't been updated or haven't been repealed since then. In 1946, in the aftermath of World War II, the Western Australian government passed the Marketing of Potatoes Act, 1946. They did it with a good reason. It was to ensure food security in a time coming out of the war. It meant it was illegal to possess more than 50 kilograms of potatoes. The maximum fine was $2,000 for your first offence, $5,000 for your second offence, plus twice the value of the potatoes. That law didn't get repealed till 2016. You know, some laws just seem ridiculous. Some laws seem really unfair. But on the other hand, there are a lot that are good and that are essential for a healthy community. Without law and order, our society moves towards anarchy. Ultimately, someone or some organisation has to have authority to make and enforce rules, and whether they're good or bad ones. And over the last few millennia, the person who had the most authority to make rules in their kingdom was the king. So when we think about a king, we could ask, what is the role of a king? And the role of a benevolent king was to use their authority to maintain peace, to bring good into their kingdom, and to protect their kingdom from attacks from others. So to put it simply, the role of a good king was to keep peace by bringing good and reducing evil. Now, if we take that same concept, it also applies to the kingdom of God. When we think about the kingdom of God, and at Rangeville we talk about releasing the kingdom of God, releasing the kingdom of God means we want to release God's peace. We want to increase good in our society round about us while reducing evil. Now, where do we get that idea from? Well, actually, we get it from Jesus. Because when we look at the ministry of Jesus, and today we're going to start by looking at the example of when Jesus sends his 12 disciples out, he sends them out in Luke chapter 9 verses 1 and 2. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. So if we put this another way, we see the same words. And we see that Jesus had called his people together to proclaim the kingdom of God. He gave them power and authority to do that. He called them to reduce evil by driving out demons. He called them to do good by bringing health and well-being, by curing diseases and healing all who were ill. And so this too is our role. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, your role is to bring good, to reduce evil, and in doing so, release peace. It's the same thing. Today is Palm Sunday, And so as we start our short series, which flows on from what we've been looking at about the reality of the spirit realm, and now as we move into the victory of Jesus, today we celebrate Jesus, our victorious King. We remember Jesus as he was coming into Jerusalem with the crowds cheering, and they're declaring him to be their king. In Luke chapter 19, verses 37 and 38, it says this: when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. See, as the crowd cried out, they acknowledged Jesus as their King. They knew that he was a king who came in peace. They knew that because he came in riding on a donkey as compared to riding on a war horse. They knew that he was a king who brought peace. So today we want to consider Jesus, who is our victorious King. And we're going to see the evidence of his authority by the way that we see that he will bring peace by increasing good and reducing evil. See, from the very start of Jesus' ministry, he knew his purpose. He knew what God had called him to do, and that was to be releasing or proclaiming the kingdom of God. The very first words that we see recorded or attributed to Jesus in Mark's gospel are from verse 15, Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus knew his purpose to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, this is your purpose too. To proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Do you do this? Well, today we're going to look at how Jesus did this. And so we're going to start by looking at the areas where Jesus had authority. First, Jesus taught with authority. See, throughout Jesus' ministry, he continued to teach on the kingdom of God. Whether it was teaching, whether it was parables, whether it was demonstrations, he taught on the kingdom of God and he taught with authority. One of the most significant teachings of Jesus was the Sermon on the Mount. And we find these words in Matthew chapters 5, 6 and 7. And the words of the Sermon on the Mount have had a profound influence on the lives of people, on societies, ever since our first taught. And as we get to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we read these words. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. You see, the people were used to being taught by their teachers, their scribes, their Pharisees, and a group called experts in the law. All of these are referred to in Scripture. And these people knew the law. They knew it really, really well. And they or their predecessors had created all these additional laws or all these rituals and these external behavioral standards that were required if you were going to comply with the law. But that was a problem. It was an external behavioral standard to comply with the law rather than living the purpose of the law. See, the purpose of the law is not compliance with a religious or a legalistic mindset. It's to bring peace. To bring peace by increasing good and reducing evil. And so the people are celebrating the authority of Jesus Christ as King because he taught about the kingdom of God with authority. He demonstrated it with power. Jesus knew the level of authority that he had. Do you know the level of authority you have? And if you're wondering about that, well, could I encourage you to go back 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago to our series on the reality of the spirit realm, where David spoke on knowing your identity authority, and where I spoke on living with your authority, exercising your authority. So let's look at some of these examples of where Jesus was expressing and demonstrating power and authority. See, Jesus had authority over evil. In Mark chapter 1 verse 27, it says the people were all so amazed that they ask each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. You see, this brings together this aspect of Jesus having authority to teach and authority to deal with the demonic. Jesus had such authority that when he gave orders to impure or evil spirits, that they had to obey him. And you see, that makes complete sense, because when we look at the mission and the vision of Jesus Christ when he came to earth, it's recorded in 1 John 3:8, it was the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's what Jesus came to earth to do. And so it's no surprise then that he would give orders to impure spirits, and because of the authority he had, they had to obey him. And so people saw Jesus' authority as king over the kingdom of God. Now remember, the kingdom of God is about bringing peace, increasing good and reducing evil. So here, Jesus is reducing evil. See, for a person who is afflicted by the demonic, for a person whose mind or body or spirit is being afflicted by the demonic, they don't have peace. But when Jesus comes in with authority over that and removes that, they have peace. And it's profound for them, for those closest to them, those around about them. Jesus knew how to use his authority against evil. Do you? Jesus also had authority to forgive. See, not only did Jesus teach with authority, not only did he exercise authority over evil, he addressed the very cause of evil, which is sin. Jesus had authority to forgive sin. And nowhere is this clearer than in Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, we read the story that Jesus arrives in Capernaum, which is a town, and the word gets out, Jesus is in town. Jesus has arrived. And so people start flocking to this home where Jesus is, and Jesus is teaching there, and everyone comes in until the place is crowded and it is so full that no one else can actually squeeze in. And then four people arrive carrying their friend who is paralyzed, and they try and get in the front door and they can't. So they exercise some ingenuity. They climb up on the roof and they start dismantling part of the roof, and they lower their friend down in front of Jesus. And in verse 5, it picks up this story. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." See, Jesus had authority on earth to forgive sins, and he demonstrated it here. Not only did Jesus forgive the sins of the paralyzed man, he healed him. And everyone's talking. And they're saying, "We've never seen anything like this." And they were right, because no one had ever seen anything like this. See, up until that time, as it had been for hundreds and hundreds of years before that, if someone wanted to have their sins forgiven, they had to go and find an animal that they were going to offer as a sacrifice. They had to bring that animal to the priest. The priest then had to sacrifice it as a sin offering, and then your sins could be forgiven. But here, this man Jesus, he just spoke the word. Son, your sins are forgiven. No one had ever seen anything like this. That was profound authority. Do you know you have authority to forgive others? And you can proclaim forgiveness when you say to them, I have forgiven you. So do you forgive? And where appropriate, tell others you've forgiven them. Jesus had authority over disease. See, in the story we just looked at, we saw that Jesus forgave the man's sins and he heals a paralyzed man, showing that Jesus has authority to heal diseases. If we go back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see God created the world. He made it in perfection. There was no sin in the Garden of Eden until Satan came and caused Adam and Eve to sin. Sin came into creation, and through sin came disease and death. But Jesus took authority over disease. Because as we read through the Gospels, we see that Jesus heals the leper, the lame, the blind, the mute, the deaf, those who are having seizures, those with gynecological problems, and all diseases. All of them. We read in Matthew 4, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every, not some, not most, but every disease and illness among the people. And you see in this passage, there's the link that Jesus is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and he is healing every disease and illness. See, where the good news is being proclaimed, people get better. See, Jesus knew how to use his authority to heal and bring good into people's lives. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, do you use the authority you have been given to heal or to bring good into the lives of those around about you? See, sin doesn't just cause disease. Disease often progresses to death. So death is a consequence of sin. But Jesus had authority over death. In the Gospels, we see that he raises this young girl from death to life. We see where Jesus interrupts a funeral procession. A widow is grieving her dead son. And Jesus stops the funeral procession and he raises the son back to life and hands him back to his widow mother. It's a beautiful act of compassion. But most famously, he raises Lazarus from death to life. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. He's been placed in the tomb and Jesus goes to the tomb. And when Jesus is at the tomb, he calls out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Amen. Wouldn't you love to have been there to see that? Jesus had authority to raise people from the dead. Each of these things that we've just been talking about has taken place before Palm Sunday. But this last event, the raising of Lazarus from death to life, really got people talking. And so in John chapter 12, we see that as Jesus is preparing to come into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, people are remembering the raising of Lazarus. And so we read this. This is John's story of Palm Sunday. He says, now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. Could you imagine the conversations in the crowd that day? People were talking. Oh, Jesus is the one who keeps proclaiming the kingdom of God. Have you ever heard him preach? Oh, he preaches and teaches with such authority. Oh, yes, I believe he calls the evil spirits out and they obey him. I heard that he even forgave a man who was paralyzed and he got up and walked out. Yes, Jesus can heal every disease and sickness in the people that come to him. Last week, he raised a man who'd been dead for 4 days. That's profound authority, isn't it? Authority to teach and forgive. Authority over evil, over disease, and over death. So if you were one of the crowd there that day, and you'd heard all that, what would you be thinking? Would you be holding Jesus up? Would you be amazed? Would you say how incredible this man is? And for the Jews who were waiting for a king, would you be going, oh, he could be our long awaited for king? It's no wonder people thought he was their king, not with all these things that he was doing. And so they decided to act upon it. And so we see that they took palm branches and they went out to meet him shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. The crowd starts declaring, Jesus is our King. They're singing Hosanna. The word Hosanna has got this aspect that means he who saves, but it also had become a word of praise. And so when they are singing Hosanna, they are praising Jesus and declaring, you are the King who has come to save us. And according to Luke's gospel, they are declaring that he is the king who will bring peace. Because in Luke's gospel it says, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They are worshipping Jesus as king. They are shouting, crying out, Hosanna. They are blessing the king with cries of worship to a king who taught with authority, who had authority to forgive sin, who had authority over evil, disease, and death. And there is no wonder that they worshipped him. And on this day, Jesus accepted their worship. Jesus received their worship. And the Pharisees came and the Pharisees tried to settle the crowd and say, stop worshipping him as king. In fact, they said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus replied, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Why? Because Jesus knew that he was king over all of creation, every aspect of creation. And so as the procession continued, Matthew and Luke's gospels both tell us that it continued into the city and he went on until he arrived at the temple. And the temple isn't just a beautiful building that's situated on Temple Mount. It's much more than that. For the people of Israel, they saw that this was the place where God was, the God who had called them to be his own special people. The word temple in that time meant the intersection of heaven and earth, not just the temple in Jerusalem. People use that concept for any sort of temple. And so regardless of what God they were worshipping, they believed that a temple was the intersection of heaven and earth and the place where that God dwelt. And so for the people of Israel, they believed that God was dwelling in the temple. So Jesus comes into the temple and there he starts to exercise his authority in the most profound way. Matthew 21 tells us, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. See, Jesus entered into the temple with authority to cleanse it of the evil that was in it. He removed the commercial activities that had contaminated the place of worship, the place of prayer, the place of teaching. He purged it of all evil. Jesus had authority to cleanse the temple. Will you let Jesus cleanse you? Because you too are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And later that day, Jesus went on to reveal his authority over disease. On that same day, as he continued in the temple courts, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. And so having cleansed the temple to reduce evil, he then healed to bring good, and then he revealed his authority as a teacher. In Luke 19, it then goes on that in the days after that, it says every day he was teaching at the temple. But the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find a way to do it because all the people hung on his words. Why did they hang on his words? Because he taught with authority and he demonstrated it with what he did. See, Palm Sunday reveals that the crowd knew Jesus' authority to teach and forgive, his authority over evil, disease and death. His actions on Palm Sunday alone reveal his authority to teach, his authority over evil and disease. In coming into Jerusalem, as he did, riding on a donkey, he came in as a king of peace. He reduced evil. He increased good. For Jesus, his kingdom was coming. See, Jesus came as a victorious king with ultimate authority. And he demonstrated it for all who were willing to receive it. It wasn't just for Palm Sunday. It wasn't just then. Jesus' authority continues today. And if you have invited Jesus into your life, you are choosing to acknowledge his authority in your life. But it's one thing to know someone has authority. It's a different thing to choose to allow that person to exercise authority in your life. Will you allow him to exercise authority in your life? The reality is sometimes that's not very easy. See, what we read about on Palm Sunday is this conflict. It's this struggle that's happening between two opposing groups of people. First of all, there's the crowd. There's a crowd. They are celebrating Jesus. They're celebrating his authority to teach and forgive. They're celebrating his authority over evil, over disease and over death. And then opposing that, there's the Pharisees. They were questioning his authority to teach. They question him throughout the Gospels on whose authority do you cast out demons? On whose authority do you forgive? On whose authority do you heal people? They continued to question his authority. They're upset that he'd raised Lazarus from the dead. Everyone else is cheering and they go, oh, can't believe he did that. They were upset that the crowd is welcoming Jesus as king, that the crowd's shouting, Hosanna. See, there's this battle between the crowd that wants to crown Jesus as king and the Pharisees that are rejecting him as king. And it's no different for every one of us. We too have this internal conflict as to whether we declare Jesus as king or whether we reject his authority in our lives. There are times when we welcome Jesus as king. But the question is, do we always accept the authority of the Word of God? There are times when we love the teachings of Jesus. We go, these are good, these are great, I'm going to live that way. But I don't like this part of the Bible. Because if I obey that, then I can't live the way I want to live. I've got to stop doing certain things. And so there's this conflict. Yes, Jesus is king, he has authority, but what do I do about the parts where I don't like that? Jesus has authority to forgive our sins. There are times we accept his authority to forgive sins, but there's times that we don't want to believe we're forgiven. And we hold on to unforgiveness. And at times it becomes a huge wrestle in our heart and in our mind as we struggle with, have I truly been forgiven of this thing? There are times when we accept that Jesus has authority to heal us physically, emotionally, spiritually. And we ask for his healing and we celebrate it when God heals us or heals others. But there are times when we don't accept it's possible. When we question or even reject God because our prayers aren't being answered the way that we want them to be answered. There are times when we invite Jesus into our lives to cleanse us, to purify us, just as he cleansed the temple of its impurity. And there are times when we are happy to deny our impurities or to allow a little bit of impurity on the side. You know, yes, yes, Jesus, come and cleanse all of me, but I still want to keep doing this. Or don't touch that part. And yet, if you believe Jesus is your king, you believe that he has authority to teach and forgive, that he has authority over evil and disease and death. In that case, will you submit to his authority? Will you accept his authority in your life to bring peace, to reduce evil, to increase good? Will you allow him to exercise that authority in your life? It's one thing, as I said earlier, to know someone has authority. It's a different thing to allow someone in authority to exercise their authority. One of the things that I've come to realize is that as you increasingly accept his authority, you'll increasingly receive his peace. It's a profound thought. That as we increasingly accept his authority of his word and what he teaches us, his authority to forgive us, his authority over evil and disease and death and these things in our lives, as we increasingly accept his authority and give him permission to work in those areas of our lives, you'll find you'll increasingly walk in the peace that comes from him alone. And so you have to ask the question, will you accept his authority in your life? Will you allow him to exercise his authority in your life? And only you can answer that question. Will you allow Jesus to be the victorious king and allow him to reign in your life? Let's take a minute and let's just quietly reflect on those questions. What's God saying to me today? What am I going to do about that? Do I believe Jesus has authority? Am I willing to submit to his authority? Will I accept Jesus' reign and rule in my life? Jesus, we thank you that when you came from heaven to earth, you came as the one who brought peace, who made a way for us to know you and receive your peace, as one who was increasing good and reducing evil. We thank you, Lord, that we see in the scriptures your authority to teach and forgive, your authority over evil, your authority to heal disease, your authority to defeat death. And we thank you, Lord, that that did not stop at the cross, but rather for every person who puts their faith in you, you give them authority. And so, Father God, we pray that we be a people who will increasingly allow you to exercise your authority in our lives and increasingly exercise the authority you've given us, so that, Lord, we too may be people that will share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, that we too would forgive where it is needed, that we too would take up the God-given authority over evil. And we would see evil diminish in our families, in our workplaces, in our community, because we are walking in authority. That we would be a people who, through your word and through the leading of your spirit, will minister healing to people's hearts, minds, and bodies. That we'll be people who will bring good, and we'll be people who speak life. Lord God, as we do these things, then we are releasing the kingdom of God. So help us this week and far beyond to be people who release the kingdom of God wherever we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we wrap up this morning, we always like to give the opportunity for prayer. If you would like to have someone pray with you, whether it's something you've already come with today, thinking, I'd love to have someone pray with me, there's an opportunity down the front here. There'll be a couple of prayer teams here. It's confidential prayer times. We invite you to come and receive prayer. If you have thought of something through the message and you thought, I'd like to have someone pray with me on one of those themes, forgiveness, cleansing, whatever it is, please take the opportunity to have prayer. If you realize that there is authority to heal, then there are children who are out going to be here in a moment, and they love to pray for people to get healed. And we've seen answers to prayer from their way they have prayed. So if you have a need for physical healing, come out here, and we'd love to have children pray with you that you might experience healing. There's an opportunity to stay in the foyer and enjoy the chance for tea and coffee and good conversation. Maybe meet someone you haven't met before. Maybe encourage someone. Share with someone in the journey of life. I'm going to close with these beautiful words from 2 Corinthians 13, starting from verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Looking forward to Easter. God bless.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.